Welcome back. This is the fourth session of the Be Happy Now series. Over the course of these teachings, I have been giving you new thought patterns and techniques that will help you to create happiness in your life. Remain patient and know that I have included everything you need from A to Z. If you haven't already done so, be sure to download the PDF version of the companion book that goes along with these teachings. You can get it for free at yourhappinessway.com/companion book. Then just put in the password happy. This particular teaching is about letting go of anger and going into forgiveness, including and most importantly, forgiveness for yourself. Being in a place of understanding and forgiveness is a calm, peaceful state that allows happiness to come through, whereas anger will not. The following is an important thing for you to really understand in order to attract what you want in your life. So remember this quote by Wayne Dyer and write it on your mirror. Put it on the dashboard of your car, on your refrigerator. You don't attract what you want. You attract what you are. You may want to stop in your pursuit of what you are wanting and ask yourself, what am I? What am I resonating with? Because you can affirm all you want. You will only attract what you're in energetic alignment with. As you listen to this series, you will get all the tools and techniques that will bring you into energetic alignment with what you're wanting. And in case you're not happy about the people, situations, or things you're attracting and experiencing in your life, you should know that on a very deep level, you have some responsibility. Of course, you're not bringing in unwanted or unhappy situations and relationships into your life on purpose, but in some way, you are aligning with that energy. You're aligning with that frequency. Think of it like a radio station, and you are tuning in. That's the only way things show up. You are tuning in. And you're probably doing it unconsciously. To truly choose happiness, you need to accept that you have been creating situations, events, and even relationships unconsciously. And this is all about learning how to bring into your life what you consciously decide you want. This is about learning how to manifest on purpose instead of unconsciously creating by default. The teachings I'm giving you throughout this series are all about resonating in a way that brings you what you want, and most of all, brings you into happiness. Even if this subject is new to you, don't feel overwhelmed. These teachings are very doable and practical. You can do it. Just stay with it. And be sure to use your companion book and answer all the questions that I pose to you. So if you attract what you are, and you are loaded with anger and non-forgiveness, then what are you in energetic alignment with? Your energetic alignment can be understood by looking at what you now have in your life. So let's say you're happily married. You could say, I'm in energetic alignment with a happy marriage and partnership. Or let's say you're unhappy in your work and you feel it isn't in alignment with your talents. You could say, I'm presently in energetic alignment with a job I'm not satisfied with. But you must understand that you have the power to change your energetic alignment and align with the life you want. Listening to this series is giving you the awareness and the tools to do just that. Think about it and use your companion book. And if you attract what you are, do you think you will be attracting your good when you're vibrating at the level of anger? Especially if your anger is directed at yourself. No, of course not. So this is about recognizing your anger and then letting it go. And most importantly, allowing forgiveness for yourself and for others. When we don't forgive, we hurt ourselves the most. How hard is it to hold on to anger? It's really much easier to let it go. but it does take a particular mindset. And the truth is, most of us have to learn how to forgive, especially when we've been deeply hurt. And who of us hasn't been wronged or hurt? I'm sure every one of you listening to these words could write a couple of pages, if not a whole book, on the subject. We've all been there, and don't be surprised to know that I have as well. As a matter of fact, it's taken me years and years of studying the finest, the most important teachings, and with the most learned gurus to compile and synthesize this material into what I needed to make these teachings work for me and to be happy myself. And now I can bring you the same teachings that brought about my own transformation, but I've made them into simple steps that will work for you as it has for me and so many of my clients and students to create happiness. I have a very good friend who really embodies all of these truths, the spiritual truths you're listening to right now. She not only knows the right way to think and to be, but she actually does it. How many of us know what to do, yet when it comes down to it, don't actually do it? So what makes one person know the truth and actually embody it and practice it, and another not? Both are intelligent people. Both really understand the principles. And it works for one, but not the other. After pondering this for quite some time and interviewing my friend and many others, I've come to a conclusion. I don't believe this is the whole story, but it certainly is part of it. If you can stay in the moment and appreciate what is right now without waiting until you get somewhere, that alone will allow you to keep moving forward happily on your path. Accepting yourself as you are right now is key in giving you the confidence and the happiness to move forward. In other words, if you're struggling and unhappy and in negative judgment of where you are right now, you zap your energy. It's like dieting. How many of you can put yourself on a very restrictive diet and live that way for any length of time? Probably not many. But if you find a way of eating that is healthy and enjoyable and lower in calories, your chances of sticking to it are a lot better. So what I'm saying is that you can incorporate all these ways of being, but do so in a way that is palatable. And do it in a way that is enjoyable. You're happy while you're making these changes. In other words, you don't make it so hard that it feels punishing. And I believe most of it comes down to this. How many of you punish yourself when you're trying to learn a new habit? How many get on your own case when you don't do something perfectly? It's crucial to listen and become aware of your self-talk. If you're being overly critical of yourself, if you're feeling unimportant, unloved, unworthy, unintelligent, or a million other uns, you cannot be happy. And to embrace a new habit is a lot easier if you feel you're getting to your goal, if you're in a bit of self-acceptance, and if possible, to even feel happy while you're doing it. Can you see that feeling positive and in self-acceptance is a big part of what makes us happy? Not to worry if you're thinking to yourself, well, if I could do that, perhaps I wouldn't be listening to this series. Just stay with me. I'm going to show you how to get in that happy state and how to recreate it. One of the most important and overlooked keys to happiness is the way you treat yourself. The most wonderful thing in the world could happen to you, but if you feel unworthy, if you're angry at yourself, if you feel like you aren't good enough, you can't enjoy it. I want you to really look deeply within and notice the kinds of things you're saying to yourself. How are you treating you? How can you expect the world to treat you any better than you treat yourself? But take heart. You are in your own control. You can change this, and you can begin to love yourself, to accept yourself. You can forgive yourself. You can, and it's imperative that you do. And it's my mission to help you. This is my purpose, my reason for being here on this planet at this time. So take heart, you're not alone. Notice how you treat yourself when you're incorporating a new habit, and answer honestly in your companion book. I'm going to give you time to write down your answers, or you can choose to stop the recording and then come back to it after you've completed the section. I believe I am. Fill in the blank with the perception you may have of yourself. I deserve. I am a person. Now the next ones are true or false. I believe I am a good person. I believe I am a worthy person. I believe I'm lovable. I believe I'm not worthwhile as I am, but if I make certain changes, then I will be. I hope you've used your companion book to write your answers. And I trust you've gotten very honest with yourself. If you want to incorporate new habits and new ideas into your life, please start with recognizing that you can be happy. Once you stop harping on yourself, saying horrible things to yourself, and feeling like you don't deserve goodness in your life, then happiness is a natural result. You have to start by noticing your self-talk. And I know that you may have heard this before, but hopefully now you're going to hear it in a new way. When you listen to what you are saying, is it the inner ogre talking? Does this ogre sound a lot like a critical adult when you were a child? Who does this ogre sound like? Do you have a lot of respect for the person whose voice that sounds like? And could the person who installed those thoughts, that tape, be wrong? You bet your bippy they could be wrong. Wrong, 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 and wrong. Don't let the words of the past destroy your now and your future. You can get a hold of this, but you have to listen to what you're saying to yourself. And when you listen, you can delete it. Just delete those words the way you would delete a misspelled word on a computer program you're working on. Awareness is the beginning. If your self-talk is awful and mean and cuts you down, everything is difficult. Use these teachings. Do the work I ask of you and watch and experience the happiness that will come as a result. Examine what you say to yourself. Go to your companion book and follow along with the exercise. Let's talk about anger in general. Some of you have learned to not forgive. And when you're angry about something, let's say an occurrence, you might say something like, well, it's just the principle of the thing. The point is, you can principle yourself into the grave. The principle doesn't make you happy, and being right doesn't make you happy. Having a peaceful, appreciative, forgiving attitude and energy field. That's what really makes you happy. And believe it or not, you can be happy without a lot of stuff, without a lot of the things you may think you need for happiness. So as I've said before, our emphasis is on anger and forgiveness. When you feel someone you care about has hurt you or in some way done you wrong, you can hold on to anger, resentment, and even thoughts of revenge, or you can learn to forgive and move on with your life. Which makes more sense to you? Of course, your answer would be moving on with your life, but unfortunately, just because something seems to make sense doesn't mean that we're always able to do it. So often our mind doesn't rule our heart, and vice versa, and our actions. Some of us have been programmed just not to forgive and to hold on to anger. This is about learning to let it go. And take heart, because we can unprogram ourselves. Mahatma Gandhi says, an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. Let it go. Think of it like setting down a 100-pound, or perhaps even a 500-pound weight. It's heavy. Don't you want to let it go? Doesn't it make sense that when you're not using so much energy carrying that heavy anger around, you'll have more energy to create the good in your life and manifest and attract what you want, like love and peace and abundance? Of course. Ask yourself and answer honestly in your companion book, am I willing to let go of my anger? So what is forgiveness to you? Let me start by saying that you don't have to like what you're forgiving. You don't even have to like the person that you are forgiving. But do it anyway. Do it for yourself. Forgive the other person so you can let it go. Just let that heavy weight of non-forgiveness go. And especially so if you need to forgive yourself. When you forgive, that hurt inside of you will begin to dissipate. And as long as you're holding on to anger, you're hurting. Do you want to keep on hurting? I don't believe you do. And it begins as simply as making a decision. Decide to forgive. Decide you want to let go of resentment and thoughts of getting even. Decide to let go of feeling hurt. Just making the decision will cause you to feel better. Ask yourself, are you willing to forgive? Say yes. Mean yes. And if you have to pretend, pretend like you mean it. That old saying, fake it till you make it, isn't far off the mark. I recently read A Compelling Reason to Feel Compassion, and it goes kind of like this. Give people a break to be exactly what they are. They must have their reasons, so respect them. If you think like that, it's a lot easier to forgive. Just realize that they do have a reason for acting the way they do, and even when it causes you hurt, just like you have reasons for acting the ways that you do, even when it doesn't make sense to others, and even when it hurts them. The Dalai Lama says, if you want others to be happy, practice compassion. If you want to be happy, practice compassion. So, forgiveness starts like this. First, you make a decision to forgive. Go to your companion book and answer the corresponding question. Are you willing to forgive? I have a friend that has a very hard time forgiving because she says, but what they did was wrong. Yes, it was wrong. But forgiving has nothing to do with your thinking the other person was wrong. They can be wrong and still be forgiven. Remember that. Because you forgive doesn't make what they did any different now or any more acceptable than it was before you forgave it. It just makes it easier for you to live and be happy. It doesn't make what they did any less wrong. You can forgive the person without excusing the act. And when you forgive them and stop judging the act, you let go of so much heavy energy. Just let it go. When you forgive, you open yourself up to feeling peaceful. And then it's so much easier to go on with your life. And go on in a happy way. It changes your energy field to one that will attract positive things. And the thing is, most of the time, your anger doesn't even affect the person you're not forgiving. So often, they don't even know that you're angry or that they've done something you think is wrong. You will be happier and have more abundance in your life if you choose to have compassion for the one that has hurt or wronged you. Go to your companion book and answer the corresponding question. Am I willing to choose compassion for those I believe have hurt or wronged me? When you allow for the possibility that this other person acts this way because of their own difficulties or situations that we may know nothing about, we can more easily feel compassion. And then the perceived injustice becomes far less personal. It becomes easier for us to forgive. And remember, when you forgive, you feel better. Here's a quote by the Dalai Lama. Love and compassion are necessities, not luxuries. Without them, humanity cannot survive. You are humanity. So without compassion, you cannot survive. Now, why besides the obvious would you want to forgive someone? First of all, you'll have far less anxiety and stress in your life. That alone should make it worth it to you to forgive. Your physical health improves when you have less anxiety and stress. You have lower blood pressure, fewer headaches, less muscle tension, and less risk of heart attack or stroke. When you've forgiven one person, magically all of your relationships will become healthier, easier, and happier. And most importantly, you attract what you are. And when you're in the energy of anger and blame, all of your relationships suffer. When you forgive one, then all of your relationships are in a place where they can now heal and add to your happiness. A sense of peace enters the space that was formerly taken up by the energy of anger. And when you're more connected to one person, you're more connected to yourself, and therefore you have a better spiritual connection with all that is. You simply feel happier. And happiness is what I'm going for. All of these teachings are to bring about happiness. You may have never thought of it this way, but when we're holding a grudge, we're actually being defensive. We're guarding ourselves from future hurt. Here are some good lifelong practices. A perfect way to let go of a grudge is to bring yourself completely into the now, into the present moment. In order to hold on to a grudge, we have to identify with the past. We have to keep remembering back to what we're angry about. When we're in the now, there is no such identification, and therefore no grudge. To start this, notice your mind. Watch the thoughts that move through your mind. And notice how often the tendency is to go into the past and live from that place. Now, don't judge yourself when this happens. Just watch it. Just observe the meanderings of your mind. And now you're watching the thinker. As you watch your tendency to go into the past and the future, find the feeling in your body. So you're now taking your attention from your mind and finding the feeling in your body. If you can scan your body, and we'll do this a little later during this teaching in a meditation that I've prepared for you, you will notice a feeling of either blocked energy, discomfort, or perhaps even pain. I know that for me, I often feel it in my chest or heart region. Some of you will feel it in your stomach or your back or your neck. No matter, it could be anywhere in your body. Just bring your attention into that place within your body and breathe deeply. Direct your breath into the place you have just identified. Keep doing this over and over each time you notice yourself going back in time to when you were wronged, or forward in time to a place where you could be wronged, or when you find yourself exacting revenge or feeling sorry for yourself or sad because of the wrong. Find the feeling in your body. Take a deep belly breath and now direct your breathing into that place. Those practices bring you into the present moment where there are no grudges. What is anger? To most of you, that may seem like a ridiculous question. You certainly know what anger is, and you've surely felt it. It's important to know that in order to break a pattern, awareness is required. And the first thing you do to conquer your anger is to recognize it as it's beginning to blossom. This would be the early stage of anger. For some, there is a tension in the body, And this can be apparent for you if you're conscious long before your mind goes into the anger mode. You could notice your temperature changing. You may get either colder or hot and sweaty. Your heart could pound, and your breathing could get shallow or even turn into a pant. You could experience body aches. Awareness of these feelings is the key to keep you from going into full-blown anger. It's very important for you to notice your early signs of anger. Use your companion book and answer the questions in regard to anger. Make a decision to notice your physical feelings the very next time you feel yourself beginning to get angry, or even annoyed, or irritated. This will help you. Awareness is an important key. And these are some of the things you can do as you first feel anger coming on. Immediately begin to deeply belly breathe. And that means to breathe deeply into your diaphragm, bringing the air all the way down into the bottom of your lungs. Most of us breathe in a very shallow way and only into the chest. And right now, you really need that deep breath to help you from going into full-fledged anger. It can help you to relax, become more present, and think more clearly. You can talk to yourself and say things like, "I don't need to get angry right now. I can give this situation some more thought and later decide how to handle it in a better way. I have time. There's no need to make any decisions right now or say anything I may be sorry for later." And again, take a breath. If you find yourself in danger of really losing it and saying something that could cause you and others hurt, it would be a good idea to remove yourself from the situation. The important thing is to notice the signs so you can recover and not go into full-fledged anger. Awareness is the key. To some, anger starts out as intense irritability. Any one of us, including the most mellow, can get irritated under the right circumstances. It could certainly happen in traffic, and that's where we have this big problem known as road rage. For many of us, it's when we feel we're not being heard. That is often a trigger for feeling devalued. And many of us turn a feeling of hurt into anger. So instead of identifying a feeling as hurt, we become angry. For some of us, feeling overwhelmed can turn into anger. It's interesting to note that we can take one feeling and make it into something else. But watching and being intensely aware is imperative to not allow the feelings to take you over to the point that you begin to believe all the thoughts going through your mind. Now go to your companion book and be honest and ask yourself, haven't you thought the craziest things and believed them while in a negative emotional state? And have those beliefs ever caused you to do something that later you were sorry for? Well, that's my point. Staying conscious and in the present moment keeps you from identifying with that negative state of anger and then thinking and believing those thoughts that are so often wrong, that so often cause us to say or do something that has negative repercussions. The following are some questions to ask yourself for increased awareness. So continue using your book to write down the answers. Do you often feel irritated or stressed? Do the slightest things seem to set you off? When you think about your future, do you ever feel angry? Do you feel angry about decisions that you've made in the past? Do you feel angry because of perceived injustices? Do you find yourself speaking loudly or shouting at others, or using sarcastic language designed to demean them? Instead of shouting at others, do you internalize your anger and churn inside? Do you find yourself reliving a past situation that you're feeling angry about to the point where it interferes with other parts of your life? For example, your home or family life or your work? Do your feelings of anger interfere with your ability to sleep at night? Do your feelings of anger cause you to overeat or to not eat? Do you feel that your sex life has been compromised because of your feelings of anger? Now write down a list of the situations that seem to cause you anger and discomfort or stress. Make a decision to recognize stress before it turns into anger. Now, how do you do that? How do you recognize yourself becoming stressed? Well, self-awareness is the key. Constantly check in with yourself and ask yourself many times during the day, how am I feeling right now? What am I thinking right now? And when you realize that a situation can bring on stress, this is particularly important. Before we let stress cause us to turn on our loved ones, or to sabotage a business or even social situation, be in self-referral. Self-referral means to be at least as interested in how you are responding to a situation as the situation itself. In other words, let's say you're on the freeway and the traffic is at a dead halt. You have to be at a meeting and it's important. And you're driving at an hour where there shouldn't be any traffic. You're stopped or slowed down for 20 minutes, and those of you who live in the Los Angeles area can relate to this. And then you find there is some small distraction on the freeway shoulder, and every one of the drivers in front of you has slowed down to take a long look at something you consider unimportant. This can be hugely stressful. This is the time when you should be intensely aware of your thoughts, your body positioning, your breathing, and your temperature. When you are watching the thinker, or watching and listening to your thoughts, and noticing your body and how it's reacting, you won't become identified with the stress to the point where it turns into intense anger. Once you become identified with intense anger, it can cause you to act in a way that will only create further problems. For example, you're stressed, and that causes feelings of frustration. Your body tenses up, which causes your breathing to become shallow. Less oxygen gets to your brain, and now the slightest thing can set you off, and you could say or do something that could cause a problem for you and for the people you care about. So many different things can create stress in our lives. Things we perceive of as good and other things we perceive of as bad. For example, stress can be caused by our attempt to live up to a goal that we have for ourselves. Goals and reaching them is considered a good thing. Stress can also be caused by financial lack or illness that we perceive of as bad. The important thing here is to be sure that we stay in self-referral, as I explained earlier. Becoming aware of your triggers is the key. In other words, many find that going to a shopping mall around the holidays extremely nerve-wracking. There's the parking, then the walking, then dealing with crowds. And all of this in addition to the pressure of having to find the right gift for the right price. This is certainly enough to create stress. And I know for me, that type of stress may cause a short temper, or I may overeat, or any number of things that would be detrimental. For something like a shopping trip, considering another alternative is very doable. However, what about that meeting you must attend, or the uncomfortable subject you have to bring up with a friend or a family member? For many of us, we feel stressed doing the things that we have to do regularly, so it's very important to become aware of those situations. And then after becoming aware of the situations and the places that may cause you stress, you simply prepare yourself in advance. Awareness alone and being mindful of your self-talk will go far to alleviate the discomfort. You can take good care of yourself and still do what you need to do. So you see, awareness is the key. Write down any place, event, or situation that has caused you stress in the past in your companion book. These writings, this awareness, can save you years of potential misery. Now I want you to say the following to yourself. I am making a decision to be at least as aware of how I am feeling in regard to a situation as I am of the situation itself. Think of it this way. If your baby was undergoing a stressful situation, wouldn't you reassure him or her? Wouldn't you cuddle and make sure your baby knew that everything was okay? Wouldn't you notice if the situation was causing your baby to become ill? And if your baby had a temper tantrum, wouldn't you be sure that anything sharp or heavy, any objects that the baby could potentially hurt themselves with, were removed? In other words, you would be watching and protecting the baby, wouldn't you? Well, doesn't it make sense to do the same thing for yourself? But most of us don't. Many go about our lives ignoring our own well-being to the point where we don't even know why or where intense suffering comes from, which can show itself as overwhelming anger or depression or even severe illness. So before it gets to the point of overwhelming anger, which can cause horrible damage that can last for years, depression that causes you to miss your life and any joy that's possible, or an illness like heart disease or cancer. Once again, the key here is to be in self-referral. Use your book to write down your answers. Often throughout the day, ask yourself the following questions. How am I feeling about this situation? Watch and listen to your answers so that you are no longer identified with the thought. Now you can recognize that it's just a thought and doesn't necessarily have to affect you or take you over. Ask yourself, how am I feeling in my body right now? If you feel affected, then find the place where the feeling is residing in your body and do some deep belly breathing and direct your breath into that area. Notice if you're judging yourself for feeling whatever you're feeling. And if so, once again, breathe deeply and simply watch the judging itself. Stay in self-referral. When you're in self-referral, you recognize the signs of stress before you're taken over into complete anger. You ask yourself and notice how you're feeling in your body, how you're breathing, if your shoulders and neck are tensed and bunched up, if your hands are clenched. Notice, breathe, and allow. Try not to judge yourself as bad or doing it wrong. When you do notice that you're judging yourself, just do the whole thing over again. Notice your thoughts, find the feeling in your body, breathe, and allow yourself to feel as you feel. Don't fight any feeling. Simply direct your attention into your breath and into your body. Fighting a feeling or judging a feeling makes it come back stronger. When you're completely aware and in self-referral, and you find yourself angry or behaving in an angry way, you realize that the anger isn't you. The anger is the energy of anger, which was programmed into you long ago. Or perhaps you've been influenced by the energy of anger around you. It can take you along like a rolling stone if you're not aware. You are tuning in to that angry vibration. And it's almost like a different entity and not you. When you're in the observer mode and you watch your thoughts, you aren't identified with them. Eckhart Tolle says, use the anger as your spiritual practice. If you can catch it the first moment it comes up, you can observe it before it becomes fully blown, and you may be able to keep it from exploding into the full-blown emotion. You may only have 2 or 3 seconds to become aware. Don't suppress it. Feel it and be there as the witness. As you observe it and feel it in your body, chances are it won't grow fully or explode. Anger is part of the pain body, or activates the pain body. You can learn more about the pain body on my website. It's important that you recognize that anger can be your greatest opportunity for spiritual awakening. And then you can actually become grateful for the anger. This takes a huge amount of consciousness. When you're aware and watching your thoughts, you know all of those thoughts are not necessarily true. And there's a tremendous freedom when you realize that just because you think it doesn't make it true. You realize that this is a thought form that comes from the pain body. As you watch it, it's like watching a movie. You don't have to be fully identified with it. This is very powerful, and if you practice this, it will set you free. Who are you angry at? Use your companion book to write down a list of everyone in your life that you are still angry with and/or you're harboring a grudge towards. Start with family, friends, people you work with, and most importantly, yourself. Are you angry with yourself? Just write a list so that you can work on forgiving. Soon you'll be able to just tick each anger or person you're angry with right off your angry list. And I promise you, you will feel a whole lot better, a lot lighter. Now let's talk about having compassion for yourself. Earlier, we talked about a way of thinking that allows compassion to come more easily. And that is giving the person you're angry with a break by realizing that they must have had a reason for doing whatever it was they did. Well, now it's time to have compassion for yourself. You too had a reason for doing whatever it is that you're angry at yourself for. A reason for doing whatever it was that you can't seem to forgive yourself for. Have compassion for yourself. Now use your book to write down all the reasons you may be angry at yourself. And after you've written them down, then write down why you feel you may have been compelled to do whatever it was you did. Give yourself a break and go through the list. Pretend that you're doing it for your child or someone you love very much. And do it with gentleness. Do it with kindness. Now let's go a little further and try to determine what benefits you may be deriving from being angry and holding a grudge. Yes, I know that may sound ridiculous, but you do get something positive out of many of the things we perceive of as negative. The point is, once you realize the positive benefit you're getting, you can choose another emotion or action besides anger to get that positive outcome. So I want you to ask yourself, what is the benefit in my feeling angry? Now keep asking yourself that again and again until you come up with some kind of answer. Here's an example of a client of mine. She says, "When I feel angry, my blood boils. When my blood boils, I feel alive. When I feel alive, I'm able to get a lot done." For her, getting a lot done seems like a positive benefit. Or you may say, "When I feel angry, my blood boils. When my blood boils, it makes me feel sick. When I feel sick, I rest in bed. When I rest in bed, I get lots of attention from my spouse or my children or friends." Simply ask yourself the following questions and write down your answers. What positive benefit do I get out of being angry? What positive benefit do I get out of holding a grudge? Then just keep writing your answers until you get to a positive. It's important to be aware of how your mind has been working in order to create situations that you feel give you a positive result. Once you're aware of the ways in which you're doing this, you can then decide to get the positive benefit in a better way. For example, if your answer was, "When I'm angry, my blood boils, and I feel alive, and I'm able to get a lot done." Once you realize that, you also know that there are many other more productive ways to feel alive and get into action and get a lot done. That alone gives you the power to make another choice. So now, let's prepare for a guided meditation. And once again, try to be sure that you're allowing yourself enough time to complete this process without interruption and without feeling rushed. In order to really reap the full benefits, you want to honor this time just for yourself. And if now isn't a good time, make an appointment and come back to this later. Please put yourself in a quiet, comfortable environment where you feel safe and secure. You don't want to do this while driving. Turn off your phone and all noise-making distractions. Take your shoes off, loosen your belt, and sit relaxed with your back in a straight, upright position and your head in alignment with your spine. In order to begin, center yourself by taking some nice, deep, cleansing breaths. Now close your eyes, intend to relax your body, and breathe in by inhaling through your nose, taking the air deeply into your diaphragm, your belly ballooning out. Exhale slowly, your belly contracting slightly. Your shoulders are not moving up around your ears, and your chest is calm. This is all about the diaphragm. Once again, as you breathe in, your diaphragm balloons out, and as you exhale, your diaphragm contracts slightly. Breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in and breathing out. As you listen to the instructions, continue this nice deep belly breath. And as you notice outside distractions or other thoughts going through your mind, simply breathe and watch your thoughts. Don't fight them. Acknowledge the thought, breathe, and simply bring your attention back to the sound of my voice. You may find this happening over and over. Simply observe the thought and bring your attention back to the sound of my voice. Now let's start the 4-4 breath. Breathing in, 2, 3, 4. Hold, 2, 3, 4. Breathing out, 2, 3, 4. And hold. 2, 3, 4. Breathing in, 2, 3, 4. Hold, 2, 3, 4. Breathing out, 2, 3, 4. And hold, 2, 3, 4. Breathing in, 2, 3, 4. Hold, 2, 3, 4. Breathing out, 2, 3, 4. And hold, 2, 3, 4. Breathing in, 2, 3, 4. Hold, 2, 3, 4. Breathing out, 2, 3, 4. And hold, 2, 3, 4. Simply continue taking nice deep belly breaths and listen to the sound of my voice. Just follow along with me. Now we're going to tune in to the energy field of your body. And as you follow along, you are watching your thoughts, simply watching the thoughts as they come up. You're watching the thinker. No need to react. Simply watch and breathe and listen to my voice. We are now tuning in to the inner energy field of your body. Starting with your feet, simply notice your feet upon the floor and breathe. Watching your thoughts, you don't have to react to them. Simply continue along with me. Good. Now notice your ankles. Just notice your ankles. The inner energy inside your ankles. And take a breath. Now bring your attention up your calves. Breathing now. Just intend to notice the feeling of energy radiating inside of your calves. Notice your shins and up the muscle on the back of your calves. It may feel like a tingle or a buzz, but it's pleasant, an alive feeling. Watching your thoughts, you don't have to react to them. Simply watch them and continue along with me. You're actually noticing your field of energy, and you're simply noticing your thoughts. They're not affecting you, but you're observing them. This energy field you're feeling is real. It's palpable. Let's simply intend to notice the feeling and breathe. You can't do this wrong. Just stay with me here and follow along. Now bringing your attention up to your knees, just notice the inner energy field of your knees and breathe. Now notice the muscles within your thighs. Just notice the way your thighs feel upon the chair and breathe. Watching your thoughts, no need to react to them. Continue along with me. Notice if you're judging the process. Just notice and bring your attention back to the sound of my voice. And breathe deeply into your belly and out of your belly. Just breathe and notice the buzz of energy moving in your body. This feels very pleasant. And remember, you can't do this wrong. Just stay with me, and you'll get better and better at this with time and practice. Now notice your hips sitting in the chair, and bring your attention around to your pelvic bones. Simply noticing your pelvic bones, and breathe. Bringing your attention now deeply into your belly. Simply breathe and feel the energy in your belly. Notice the temperature inside of your belly. And if you feel like you're not noticing the energy, then just imagine you're noticing it. It feels like movement inside and around the body, a vibration. And it almost feels the way you would imagine music to feel. And now breathe. Bring your attention up into your diaphragm and breathe. Just intend to notice the feeling inside of your diaphragm and notice the temperature. Watching your thoughts, you don't have to react to them. Simply watch them and continue along with me. Are you judging this process? Simply notice, knowing you don't need to react to the thinker. Now bring your attention into your rib cage and notice the way it expands and falls as you breathe in and you breathe out. Now bring your attention around to your back, bringing your attention up your spine. And now notice your ribs in the back. Expanding with the breath and contracting with the breath. Now you're bringing that energy up your back and all the way up to the base of your neck. Good. Now bring your attention into your shoulders and breathe. And now down your arms. Imagine you can feel the energy shooting down your arms and out your hands and fingers. It's a good energy. It's the energy of your body. Watching your thoughts now. You don't have to react to them. Simply watching your thoughts and continue along with me. Now bring your attention up to your chest. Breathing in and breathing out. Notice your heart beating within your chest. How lovely your beating heart is. Now your attention in your throat. Swallow. And notice how that feels. Just swallow. Now bring your attention up into your face. Bring it up into your chin and your jaw. Now your teeth and your tongue. Notice the feeling inside of your face. Good. Now breathe. Now back again to the base of your skull and the back of your head. And you trace the energy up the back of your head to the crown. And now notice the energy at the very top, the crown of your head. Simply notice the feeling at the crown of your head. And breathe. Watching your thoughts. You aren't reacting to them. You're simply watching them. And continue along with me. Now I want you to imagine that you're floating up in the sky. You're floating about 20 feet up in the air, feeling very safe and secure. And down in front of you is a stage that's about 40 feet wide and 30 feet deep. And now you're going to put all the people you'll feel angry with onto that stage. Just begin to bring them up in groups. Let's start with family members. Simply imagine your family members that you feel angry with are now up on the stage. Good. Now your friends. Any of your friends, past or present, that you feel angry with now or holding a grudge towards are now on that stage. Very good. Now bring on your coworkers, anyone you've worked with in the past, and anyone you're now working with that you have any anger or feel a grudge towards. You're now bringing them up onto that stage. Now put anyone else you can think of that you feel anger toward up on that stage as well. And now put a version of yourself on the stage too. Good. Simply watching the stage, you see your family members, your friends, your coworkers, acquaintances, and yourself, and take a breath. Now scan the stage and notice all the faces, including your own, and say these words along with me. I forgive you completely. I no longer wish to carry around this heavy weight of anger. Therefore, I forgive you completely. Should I remember back to the reason for my anger, I will immediately picture you on this stage accepting my forgiveness. Now, imagine a light rain. A light cleansing rain sprinkling down upon the people you've placed on the stage. And as it rains, it's washing away any signs of your anger. This light, warm rain is washing them clean. And it's washing you clean as well. Notice all the people on the stage beginning to smile and to lift their faces up to the rain. They're laughing and frolicking in the rain, laughing and playing as they get washed clean. Good. And now the rain stops, and you see the sun coming out. The sun is warm, and it's gently drawing all the people on the stage. And one by one, you see them leave. They float off the stage to go and live their life, and as they do, you wish them each a happy and healthy journey. You see that version of yourself float off the stage as well. And there is a beautiful, radiant smile on your face, and you seem somehow lighter. You wish yourself a happy, healthy journey. All anger has been washed away, and you are free. Good. That feels so good. Getting comfortable now, bringing yourself back to this time and this place. Just listening to the sound of my voice and breathing. With your eyes still closed, bring yourself back into your body in this time and place. And begin to slowly move your head around upon your shoulders. Just lightly move your head around upon your shoulders. And now dropping your chin down upon your chest, put your hands together. Lightly rub them together as if warming them over a fire. And now faster, causing a light friction. With your eyes still closed, bring your palms of your hands up to your face. Covering your face and eyes now with your hands and enjoying the contours of your face. Appreciating the contours of your face. Just you appreciating you. Taking a nice deep breath now and slowly allow the light to filter through your fingers. Gently opening your eyes and slowly getting accustomed to the light in the room. Bringing yourself back to the here and now, in this place, and in this room. You did good. Know that as you do this meditation more and more, you will more easily and more fully access the feelings of your inner energy field that actually does radiate through your body. This will get better and easier as you practice this meditation more and more, and your life will improve and fast. Be sure and block time to join me for the next section, Living in the Present Moment.